outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Get ready for the number one internet radio show anywhere. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, it's Sam and Stephanie in the Morning. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, dial them up right now at 323-203-0815. And now strap in for Sam and Stephanie in the Morning right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Wednesday, May 18th, folks.
Oh, good morning, guys. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning.
What's going on?
Well, today's show is going to be all about Stephanie.
Oh, God, no. Please don't.
We're going to get more Stephanie than we've ever wanted to.
Thanks, Sammy. We'll see about that.
Yeah, so we have a special guest in the studio. Stephanie got hypnotized last week,
Yeah. And
we're going to hear some clips of that.
I'm a little nervous.
Are you?
Yeah.
You don't remember everything that you said, right?
No. I remember a lot, though.
Yeah.
I just don't remember every little piece of it.
Good. So now you'll be reminded.
Great. Yeah. I hope I didn't say anything bad on there.
I have a feeling we'll find out more about you.
I'm sure we probably could.
Yeah.
But I am excited that Randy's here. So we'll talk to him in a little bit.
Yeah.
So how are you? What's going on?
What's going on is, again, it rained overnight, and I missed out on the whole rain. I don't know. But it was nice, like around 11, 11:30. It was nice and wet outside, and I liked it. But I'm waiting for some rainy days before the summer comes here.
I know some thunderstorm. It's not Midwest, though. You're not going to get a thunderstorm or a rainstorm like that.
No.
You will not get that, my friend. I hate it when I go out, though, I have to say.
Yeah, when it's raining.
And I was out last night, so... Mm-hmm. I was not happy in the rain.
Oh, well, I'm sorry for you. You
I'm
see
sure
the
you
problems
are,
and tribulations of a single girl.
Yeah, I know, right? Poor Steph. The problems I have in my life.
Yeah. So yesterday was fun, huh?
Sammy.
With Larkin. That was a pretty good show yesterday.
You were a little excited there.
I was very excited, yeah.
You are crazy. You know that? And it's so funny because I went on to our Facebook page after, uh-huh. And I was looking at like people's comments, and all the guys were like, "Way to go, great show!" And I was like, "Of course, you guys, you dirty men, of course." And there's like no women that were like, "Great job."
I know. Well, women won't admit it. I think they like it too, but they won't admit
it. Well, I mean, I'll admit it.
It's interesting, you know. I mean, she had a very exciting life, you know, a very interesting one.
Yeah, but it's just how men and women operate.
Yes.
Because it's so interesting, like. You know, I'm obviously very open about things and sex and all that, but you know, like I was asking her questions. I wanted to get to know her
right.
as a person because uh-huh. she's a person. She just chooses to put her sex life out there, which I totally respect, and that's what she wants to do. But I wanted to get to know her as a person, you know,
right.
And most women do. But men are just like, so what positions did you do? So what did you enjoy most?
I did and
you
not just, ask that. Come on.
No. I'm not saying. I'm just saying like. I'm saying in general, like
right. men want to know the
exactly
details,
like
yeah.
they just want to know the sexual details
yeah.
of it, and the
and women
are like
bond and communicate.
You know exactly, like it's just such a funny dynamic sometimes. So when I went on yesterday, I was like, of course you men, you disgusting men, way to go. But
yeah,
no,
well,
she
it's
was
pretty
really
exciting,
great.
You know. I mean, what can I tell you?
No,
yeah.
I think she was awesome and really, I was. It was great for her to come in and just be so open and willing to talk about whatever,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Obviously, you want somebody like that, especially in the business that they're in,
yeah.
you know, to be open about it. But she was great. It was a fun show.
Yeah.
I had a good time, for sure.
Good.
And I know you did.
Yeah, I did. I did. So nothing exciting in the news other than...
Schwarzenegger.
Yeah. Do you know that Bobby Collins, the comedian, was on Joy Behar last night?
He was
funny.
Not.
Yeah, he was like a guest and stuff.
Was he fantastic?
Yeah, he was funny.
What time is that show on? Is it on at 10?
I don't know. No, I think... Well, maybe 8. I don't know. Okay. It's on CNN. Okay. Yeah. On HLN.
Is it good? Besides Bobby, I mean, was she?
Yeah, she's funny.
She is.
She's funny. Yeah, she has interesting people.
I don't like her on The View, but
no,
I just can't stand
her. No, she's very funny.
Oh my God, that show's a nightmare.
Yeah.
I'm pissed that I didn't get to see him. I think he's awesome.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna have to bring you the DVD. I keep forgetting. I'll bring you the DVD we bought of her show. Yeah.
You keep telling me that.
Yeah. What the hell? Shows you how great my memory is in the morning.
It's
right?
Okay, I don't remember anything either, Sam. I don't mind. I know there's nothing going on in the news. At least nothing that we want to really care to talk about, right?
Yeah, except for the Schwarzeneggers. And, you know, we've heard everything about that already. They were all over it on the news yesterday.
Oh, they're going to be all over it for a while now.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to be the big news for the next week or so.
Yeah.
And Randy has something to say about it, so we'll have to ask him about it.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, well, let's bring Randy in. Why don't you go ahead and introduce him to us?
Okay. Hello, Randy.
Randy, good morning. Doing, welcome to the show.
Well, I'm glad to be here. Nice drizzly morning out here.
Yeah. Yes, it is drizzly. This is Randy Rogers. I met him through a dear, dear friend of mine, Michael Schlau, who I've known since I was 12. And he brought me your book and said, you have to read this. I think you guys would really click.
Uh-huh.
And then I started reading it, and, you know, I said I wanted to get hypnotized and called you up, and there we go. So now this is where we are. So welcome to the show, Randy.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. You were talking about the book and how it's tied in with Maria.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Maria, actually, on the back cover of my book, there's a little blurb from her. I'd sent her the manuscript of it when it was finished and got her to write a little part of it there. And then when you read
Did you know her at all?
No, I worked with her at NBC.
Oh, I see. Okay. So that's nice. Yeah.
Her and Arnold. I met them both. Yeah.
Are they nice?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I've worked with him on a few movies. Terminator.
You worked on Terminator?
Last Terminator one we did with him. Yeah.
Oh,
the promotion
how was
of that.
Oh,
it was hilarious.
Was it?
We were finished with the shooting. He was standing out there by his G-Wagon smoking a cigar, and my son was made up with half of his face blasted off like the Terminator. We had a special effects artist there doing all the reporters and that, and he was only about 4 years old, and he was picking up a couple of sandbags, and Arnold saw him and said, whose son is that? You know, and to his publicist, Cheryl Main, and she said, oh, that's Randy's. Well, will he take his picture with me?
Yeah.
And I said, well, ask him, and Arnold's, Kyle, come here. And Kyle had his back to Arnold, and he had two sandbags in his hands. He drops the bags, and he puts his hands up. He doesn't even turn around. He says, I'm busy. and just disses on and just walks. And I wait a minute, I'll go get him. And I dragged him back, and he would not take his picture with Arnold. He just wouldn't let him. Well, because he said he told me he wouldn't take any pictures in the afternoon. Because I had shot pictures of him all morning.
That's
with all
hilarious.
The mock-ups we had. We had mannequins of the Terminator all around.
And, right.
Cool.
And so now by the afternoon, he was finished with the Terminator pictures. So, and then when we had the real Terminator there, he wouldn't do it. So.
That's so cool.
So what was your role there? I mean,
we were doing the publicity. My company, Telefilm Inc., we did over 500 movies in Hollywood here with mostly Warner Brothers and Disney, but all the studios, Sony, all
right.
of them.
Publicity.
When they release a movie, they do what's called a press junket. Well, we'd set up the background, the cover, the lighting, the design. I'd design it, everything, and the cameras, sound, everything in there. So.
I see.
And would shoot, would go in a hotel somewhere, and Arnold and all of them would be there. That one we did on a location downtown at LA Studios.
We had
huge sets up on it.
I've shot there before.
But we've done Pearl Harbor was a big one. We were on that one for Disney down in Hawaii.
In Hawaii.
Right. Yeah. We've done every major motion
That's
picture.
That's cool.
Out
what
there.
A cool line of work to be in.
Yeah, that was it. But now it's the book. Now my life's taking this big left turn and off into the metaphysical realm.
But you still do stuff in the business.
Well,
right?
Yeah, I've got shoots going on the stage. In fact, coming up here, I have a sound stage over the hill.
Yeah.
So we're still doing.
Yeah,
got to
keep your day job, you know.
Yeah.
You start writing books, you forget you have to make a living.
Yeah.
You do all this crazy new age stuff.
Right.
So you got into metaphysical. How did that come about?
Well, that came about, and it starts up in the beginning of the book. I was working on all these press junkets at the time, and I moved into this new house I had built on the bluff right over Marina Del Rey there. And I had these feelings. A girl I knew from grade school, her name was Kathy Lynch. I had a feeling that she had passed away. And I hadn't seen her since 1973, and this was 1995 when these events started. So I started searching for her, and to make a long story short, when I did find her, she had passed away, and she passed away from what I was working on at the time, which was an ovarian cancer video I was producing for the Fire and Ice Ball here in Los Angeles, which was a huge event. You know, it's going to be held up at Warner Brothers, and they were going to play this little movie. I shot this little doco, this 5-minute doco. And I could see there was a synchronicity going on. It was a coincidence, and it led me down this path. I started following these synchronistic signs, and as I went along, I was led to a Russian acupuncturist that could. Her name was Lucy Postoloff. She could put needles in you, and you could go back into a past life. Now, I had no knowledge of any of this. I was raised in a Roman Catholic family, and you know, I was an altar boy, and that was the extent of my spiritual upbringing. I had no knowledge of the metaphysical or reincarnation, but that's where this story led. As I put these needles in me, I started telling her who I was and even who she was, and then I started proving it.
Really?
And that's what the book was about. The journalist in me kicked in. I kept a journal of everything that happened in interviews and recordings of things, and it ended up becoming this book.
Wow. So the book is called The Key of Life, A Metaphysical Investigation by Randy Rogers, of course. Well, I like the art on it.
Yeah. I know, it's gorgeous.
Cool.
Well, it's got code and hidden symbols all through it, too.
Yeah,
it reads like a Dan Brown novel, but every word in it is true. Every name, date, time, place is all accurate, and so it's a true story.
So this documents your life, pretty much what you've been through as far as the metaphysical
right,
part of it?
Yeah.
I see. Well, sounds pretty interesting.
It is. I'm on page, what am I on, 111?
Wait till you get to the end and you start to see the synchronicity to the events that are happening today. And
but today, like with Arnold and
right.
Maria and stuff. I know. It's pretty awesome. It's a great, fun, so everybody out there, it's a really great, fun, interesting read. Mm. Like, it has gone by so quick, I can't put it down. So I highly recommend picking it up. If you're into that stuff, even if you're not, it's a great, great story.
Right.
But I'm into it, and
Yeah, well, that's cool, you know.
It's really neat.
Yeah. So you're into that stuff, and you decided you're going to go and get hypnotized by Randy.
I did.
And what made you decide to do that?
You know, I've wanted to, and I never, you know, I meditate a lot, and I do Reiki and all this stuff, and I've had out-of-body experiences before. But I have a lot of fears of certain things. Like I have a fear of sharks and water.
Right.
I have a fear of flying. A fear of abandonment.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of wanted to know.
Join the club on that one, right?
Really?
I think everybody's got
We're going to play a clip on that abandonment one. Yeah.
I think everybody does, actually. Everybody I say this to, they're like, I know, me too.
Yeah.
But I actually, when I was a kid, my mom would drop me off at my dance classes. And I was maybe like, I mean, this went on for many years. What I remember at this time, around 10 or 11, she dropped me off. And the moment she left, I would bawl my eyes out. Mm. And not because I missed her, because I thought she left me there forever.
Wow.
And she was never coming back.
And that stayed with you.
Oh, and it's like, and so I don't know. And then I think about it, every relationship I've been in, I have left.
Uh-huh.
And it's maybe because I don't want to be left.
Exactly. You wanted to prevent it. So you sort of like... Did it first.
Yeah, so I leave. So I have this wall up so I don't get hurt, and I'm always the one like in control. So if I have to leave, I got to leave.
Right.
Because I don't think I can handle it.
Yeah.
So I wanted to Dakota Randy and just be like, what the fuck is wrong with me? Please shed some light on what is wrong with me. But I think we touched on it a little bit. I think there's a lot more that needs to be uncovered, my craziness.
Yeah.
But it was really... Really awesome. Probably my favorite part of it was when I went into my higher self, like my soul. Like that was one of my favorite parts.
Mm.
The power you felt, the strength, the love, the peace. It was incredible.
Wow.
And I got to talk to my grandma, and I got to talk to India, and I got to talk to my grandpa, and that was amazing.
Mm.
And then when I came back into my body,
right.
And Randy says this is what happens. It was so heavy, I could not move for like 2 minutes. I just had to sit there.
Yeah.
It was, I felt like I had been hit by a truck. It was that intense.
Yeah.
But it was oh my God, it was awesome. I recommend it to anybody. And I was a little skeptical. I was a little nervous. I was a little like, I don't know what to expect here. But I said this, look, I'm here for a reason. I said I wanted to do this. I'm just going to do it.
Yeah.
So,
well,
and I'm glad
it
did.
That happened.
So that
happened. Okay, so Randy brought us a few clips from that session. And I know I'm curious to know what happened there. You know?
Well, yeah, so. I can give it just so people know out there how this came to be that I'm hypnotizing her, because I wasn't always a trained hypnotherapist. But what happened was when my book came out, Everyone was wanting to experience this, come out to L.A. and meet Lucy or get the needles put in them, and that's just not going to happen. And I went and I sought out, I knew most people used hypnotherapy to do this, hypnosis, and I sought out the best hypnotherapist I could find. His name's Dick Sutphin, and he lived up in Malibu. He's written almost 20 books on the subject. And so I called him up and got on his radio show, and then I trained under him. I went through one of his training classes.
Really?
And I got certified as a hypnotherapist, and I started doing this. And over the last year now, a little over a year, I went all over the country doing these workshops and past life regressions, and the stories that are coming out are just nothing short of phenomenal. And,
really?
And Stephanie was a very, very, very good subject. You're going to hear her voice change from what she sounds like on the air here to when you go under. She went really deep, and her voice got soft and just... And she was floating out there. So this first clip's
going to... I'm so nervous.
What happens is I lead her to a place where there's a hall of doors, and she's going to select a door that's going to open for her and take her into this past life, the life that's going to answer the questions she had today. And those had to do with her abandonment issues and some of those things that were going on in her life, her fears and that. So we'll play that first clip here, and we can listen in to Stephanie as she begins, is ready to open this first door.
Okay, sounds good. Let's listen to that.
In front of right now, Stephanie?
A red door.
A red one. Does it have any hardware or knob or anything on it?
It's a silver.
Silver knob?
Like old fashioned.
A very old fashioned, okay. Now, does this door open in or out? Do you pull on it to open it or?
I open.
You're opening it?
Yeah, and it goes inward.
All right, now push it in, and the count of three, you're going to step across. Number one, number two, number three. Where are you standing right now? Are you inside or are you outside?
I'm outside.
You're outside. What's it look like around you? Can you see any details?
A big meadow.
A meadow.
Lots of trees and flowers. Looks like it's like the summer.
Uh-huh. Now, count of three, I'm going to have you look down at your feet. Number one, number two, number three. What are you wearing on your feet? Anything?
No shoes.
No shoes? Now, are you a male or are you female?
I'm a female.
All right. Now, again, the count of three, you're going to find yourself outside that body looking back at what you look like. Number one, number two, number three. What are you wearing or what do you look like?
I'm wearing a white dress. And I'm a teenager.
You're a teenager, all right. What color is your hair?
Blonde.
Blonde?
I have long blonde hair. I have lots of flowers in my hair.
How old do you think you are?
I'm 15.
15? Okay.
Okay. 15 years old.
Yeah, there she is.
I felt I was getting hypnotized
by
this.
Yeah. The music and that, yeah. Well, yeah, I'm anxious
to go under?
I'm anxious to do Sam. I want to take him back to when he was a woman.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Oh, my God.
That'll lose all your hang-ups on sexuality right there. Once you pop out and see yourself as another character.
Yeah, I was probably a lesbian in my previous time.
You do have a fascination with him, I noticed. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, because I like women. That's why, you know. So I can't imagine having been a woman and being attracted to a man. That's why I'm saying I must have been a lesbian if I was a woman. But I thought the souls are sort of male and female, aren't they?
No. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a misconception of people that you only are this one. You have this sexuality that follows through with you. Mm-hmm. I've seen myself in both male and female roles that I've played. And then, I mean, I know there's a development as you go through your life. And as you get to when you get to the end of your life, your spirit is what is the growth factor here. That's what's growing. And so when you leave your body, you do have this larger spirit now. And some of the times, I think what happens is the soul splits again. And that's why you keep seeing there's more and more and more people on this earth. Because they're really like, we're like amoebas or like... clones of ourselves. We split, and I'm going to go and play a male and a female role now. And so you constantly have that growth going on. But we're all the same, every part of it. And even if you haven't played the role, you can experience it by someone else having played it. Because on the other side, we're all connected. That's where the connection's made.
Now, how do you know this stuff?
Well, it all came from...
You speak with a lot of confidence and certainty, yeah. You know. I mean, I'm not buying any of it, but...
Well, it wasn't like I just found out yesterday. I mean, it was 15 years of exploring this and investigating this and doing these regressions and being taken to this place and to this higher self that Stephanie... We're going to get to that clip further down. The next to the last clip we play is the longest one, and it's when she goes to higher self. And that's where all the answers come from. That's where your spirit guide comes along and starts to give you the answers. And they're really profound, and they make an impact in your life. There isn't one person that's come into me and hasn't had their spirit guide show up and make a difference in what they're saying to them, make them feel different when they walk out of that room after they're finished. They have a better understanding of who they are, what they're here to do, and how to relax and let this flow through you, not get caught up in the drama of your life.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Makes sense. You know, I'm just concerned the clips are a little long here, and, you know, people are going to fall asleep sometimes because it's like very soft and mellow and stuff. So we'll play a little bit.
Don't be driving while you're listening. Pull over.
So we'll listen to...
clip two.
Yeah, clip two. Okay, here we go. Stephanie going under.
How do you feel in that body that you're in right now? Are you happy, Sam? What's your emotion?
I'm very happy.
Why are you happy?
I feel very alive.
Very alive, all right.
I feel very childlike. I want to explore.
Well, you can move forward. You can move forward along where you are and explore. Is there a direction you feel like going?
Straightforward.
You're going to move really quickly. Everything's going to change. Scenery will change. You may find yourself somewhere else.
I'm in the water.
Is it a stream or a lake?
I'm in the lake.
You're swimming in the water or you're under the water?
I'm under the water.
Under the water.
Mm-hmm. Looking at everything. I'm not scared.
I feel very free, very alive.
Mm-hmm. I see someone looking at me in the water.
Who is looking at you?
A man. He's watching me.
You can see this person is watching you?
Uh-huh.
It's a man?
Mm-hmm.
How old is he?
Maybe about 22.
Uh-huh.
He's got longer brown hair.
Mm-hmm.
He's wearing something that they'd wear in the castle. Knight's outfit.
Is this somebody you know? You feel close to this person?
This is nobody I know. But I swim over to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he bends down and helps me out of the water.
How do you feel with him? Do you feel safe, secure?
No. I don't know him, and I don't really trust him.
Okay, you see this man.
Yeah.
And
I see this man.
Yeah.
God, I sound like I'm drugged up.
I know. Well, that's the thing. You know, it's kind of like not perfect for radio, but it's interesting.
No.
Oh, no, I'm telling you, that's very dramatic when you're under and you're so deep. Your voice is shifted, and I even shortened this up. I took out, there are huge, long pauses, because when you're on the other side, there is no time over there. And the time's ticking away here on the clock. I'm in the room. I'm aware of it. Right. But she isn't. So when she answers me, she thinks she's answering me right away, but it might take her a minute or something to get an answer out because she's caught up in looking at it. Tell them what it looks like. Tell how real this is, where you are.
Well, it's like, I mean, you're experiencing it. Like, I'm everything that I was describing is everything I'm in. So I'm walking through it. I'm touching it. It's all completely real to me.
Really?
But I came out of it, and he was like, do you know how long you were under? And I was like, I don't know, 5 minutes? And he goes, an hour and a half. And I was like, oh, my God.
I know. That's how I felt when I was hypnotized. I was hypnotized only once, but I remember that as well. You know,
what were you hypnotized for?
Like therapy and stuff like that. Yeah. So I was, when I was under, I mean, it seemed like, you know, 15 minutes at most, you know. And she told me, it was over an hour.
Yeah, it seems, it goes by like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're stepping off the timeline. We're in a moment right now. You and Stephanie and I are living in the moment. We can't go back to when we started the show. We can't move ahead to the end. We can only move moment to moment down this timeline.
Right.
But when you go under hypnosis, you literally step off the timeline, and now you can look at your entire life, and as many lives as you played, all the way back and all the way forward, it's stretched out there in front of you, and you can just jump in and experience whatever you want.
Wow.
Yeah. But so in the thing, during that clip, what happened after I met, or I
well,
come up
he came up and
and helped me out of the water
and gave
and
you a towel or something, helped dry it, and then put you on a horse and you rode off to the to a castle.
But it was the weirdest shift for me was I was so, like, when I walked into this world, I was really, like, alive, and I felt like I wanted to just explore the world, and I was so happy. And the moment I saw him and he brought me out of the water, all of a sudden I couldn't talk. Like,
Well,
I felt
the next
this
clip is about
constriction
that.
On my, like, throat. Well, we don't even have to play it. We can just, you know, go to the end or whatever. But I felt this, like, constriction on my throat. Like, I had no voice at all. Mm. I couldn't say anything. I was really unhappy. I don't know what it was. It was this energy. I didn't feel safe with him. I was terrified of him. It was so bizarre. But that was my biggest shift, is when I came up to him, I felt this immediate, like, my throat close.
Really?
Yeah, she had a constriction. She was, and she, in the next clip, she got to the castle, and that's where she ran into the first people that she recognized from this life playing a role in that life. And that was her grandmother in this life, was her caretaker back then.
Right.
And she recognized her right away and said, it's my grandmother from this life, but she's my caretaker today. And,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, and then after that, what?
And well, that's when she, that's when you said all of a sudden, I don't know why I feel like this, but I can't say anything now. She had to, the minute she got back in the situation with the castle and around those people, she had to close off as she couldn't express herself, basically.
Yeah.
She was being suppressed.
It was so bizarre.
Yeah. I can't see Stephanie not expressing herself.
Well, you see what happens as we went along.
I know, which is, you know, me, I love to talk about whatever, but I really felt this restriction when I saw him, and it wasn't before. And then when I went to my higher self, I was fine. Or after he left.
Well, no, it all had to do with who, what happened. She ended, this man that met her and took her to the castle ended up becoming her husband.
Uh-huh.
And then she had a child with him. And we go through all that as we went along. She experienced, we moved to the wedding. She described the wedding in detail. Then she described the birth of her child. Well, not the birth, but after the child was born, she was there and she had this daughter and she moved forward through each one of these segments till her husband then tried to kill her in that past life.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It got really interesting.
Yeah, he tried to stab me and I...
What is it with you and men,
I don't know.
Violent men?
I do love men. Really do. I've loved men since I've been in preschool.
Yeah.
Like, I was always man crazy.
Right.
But
you seem to be attracted to the wrong ones.
I know. I have no idea what that's about. Actually, you know what, though? To be fair, my ex-boyfriend, who was like the love of my life in like seventh grade when I was about 12, he's been, to this day, the best boyfriend I've ever had.
Really?
Like, he loved me. He was good to me. He was nice and funny. We had a great time. And to this day, he was the best guy I've ever dated.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. And how old was he?
Well, we were both 12. 12.
Okay.
And we dated like till we were like on and off till we were like 17, 18 years old. So
I don't know.
Like,
I think there's a problem there if that's the best relationship.
Well, that I will agree with.
The abandonment issue came up from literally the reason this marriage was put together. And she wasn't happy. At the wedding, she knew that her husband didn't love her. And she's saying that while she's under hypnosis, that he doesn't really care for me. And she is only being married to him because of the family set it up for her to be taken care of.
Oh.
And then when he tries to kill her and then he runs out, he literally, she says he leaves the house and then he left for good. And she was on her own. There's the first case of being abandoned.
Yeah.
You know? I mean,
yeah.
She not only that, he attacked her and abandoned her.
Yeah.
So that starts a scar that ripples through all your next lifetime. So then now you'll be, I'm going to be this dynamic person that projects myself and I'm not afraid to talk. Look, you're on the radio. You're projecting yourself.
Yeah.
But you deep underneath it, you have this abandonment thing that comes up.
Right. And now I know why I have father issues. My dad set up my marriage, and I wasn't happy.
Yeah.
Thanks, Pops. And my parents in this life were my parents
in that life.
In that life as well.
Is that possible?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, the same. Well, you reincarnate. That's the thing that's really cool about the whole thing. You don't come into this life without knowing anyone. Everyone around you, all your friends, your family and relatives are all people you've been here. You're the same actors on a different set and different roles you're playing.
I see.
And you could be, your mother could be your father this time, or your mother could be your wife or your daughter, or and you switch around so that you can experience. And that's where the karmic lessons come in. It's like you may have played mother and father before and to somebody else, and now you're going to play the daughter of them or the son, because you want to see it from all perspectives. You want to play the role from all angles. It's it's the ultimate in acting.
Well, you and Kathy, the woman that he had the premonition about that she was had passed, you guys were twins.
Yeah, in a past,
life.
We were
they
twin
were
girls
they were twin
in
girls.
The 1560s in England.
Really?
Yeah. That's where the book really takes off is when I start telling who we were and how we were connected.
It's so cool. I mean, I don't know. I think that there's something to it. Yeah. Sam, on the other hand.
Well, no. I mean, my question is, are we meant to know that? I mean, obviously, without hypnosis, without all that kind of stuff, we don't know.
No. And the reason is, that's a good point Sam's bringing up, is that we're brought into this life, remember, to play this role. You're an actor, you're the star of the movie, called Sam, and I'm the star of the movie called Randy. And when we interact with each other, then we play supporting roles. But we're always the star of our own little story, and all these stories intermesh. And the reason that mask is pulled over you when you come in this life is so you stay in the role of Sam, and I stay in the role of Randy. But playing that role, you have these other little things coming up, and you're not, like you're saying, the abandonment. Why do I have this feeling? The only way to find that out is go back and experience what's going on and then come in. And once you release that, once you know what was causing it, you come in, all of a sudden, well, the abandonment's gone. I know it's something in the past. It's not going to happen here.
Right.
And you'll feel better about that as you move because of what you're experiencing.
Yeah.
Knowledge erases karma. And that knowing what the lesson is and understanding it, then you don't have to go through the lesson.
That's true,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. So you're trying to take shortcuts. That's what it is.
I'm trying to take, in a nutshell, that's exactly what I'm doing. No, I like to always learn. I don't know. There's something that I'm drawn to in this, and I don't know why. I want to go see what my other past lives are. Yeah. I really want to go under again and see if I, but this is my, I told you I was obsessed with England.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was. Didn't I describe it in this?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She was definitely describing England.
What was the time period?
You said in the 1800s is when you were there.
See?
So now I'm not sure exactly, the time thing gets a little twisted sometimes with people, and they say, but whatever comes to them, that usually is about it. If you can explore it a little more, you can kind of narrow it down as to what time frame you were there. But I know she was there. I know she was there, and she played this role to this man back then in England and lived in this place.
Wow. Well, maybe you were the Queen of England. Who knows?
I wish. I want to see you go under, Sam.
Yeah.
I really do. I want to hear what past life you have. Well, you have this connection to, what is it, South Africa, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, because I was there. I mean, I've been there, but I like Europe a lot.
Yeah,
I don't know if that means anything. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it sounds fascinating and everything. I don't know that I want to know all that stuff, because I don't see how it really affects you if you don't know it. Because, again, like I said, maybe we're not supposed to know this. Maybe we're just supposed to, go with what we understand and try to make the best of it,
Well, I think once you have a complete understanding of who you are and you look in the mirror in the morning and realize I'm not really Sam, I'm this spirit playing this role, you can really put a lot more into the role then, because then all the fears and things that are holding you back from really playing it, the things that, I'd do this, but I don't want to really take the chance. Now you realize there is no chance. You're not really taking a chance. There's nothing going to happen to you. You're not going to die.
Right.
That's the most important issue to learn, is that you're not going to die. That if you fell over right now while you're running the mixing board there, you wouldn't die. you're the spirit of Sam would still would engulf us, literally.
Right.
Your body would lie there like an old car that finished, you know, using it. And that's literally what these bodies are that we're walking around in. They're just a vehicle.
Well, I actually saw that the first time I ever really saw that it was a body was when my grandfather passed 2 years ago. And he had an open casket. And, you know, I forget exactly what he passed of, but, you know, he got sick and I went up to his casket and I was looking at him and there was no sign of my grandfather.
Right.
There was no light. There was no soul. There was nothing that I knew him as.
Right.
And he literally, to me, for the first time, I was able to look at this body and see a body.
Right. Just
and I
body.
Felt like there was no connection with me, with him
with
right
him.
There. I felt him in my heart and my being and my mind,
you,
and I kept what was important to me of him with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I gotta say, this was 2 years ago when I felt that for the first time in my life, because I've always identified so strongly with the body of, like, because that's all we know.
Right.
And so, and that was a huge moment for me when I looked down at him and I was like, wait, this isn't my grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm mourning for a man that hasn't really passed. It's just I'm mourning for his body.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel a connection to his body.
Yeah.
You know, so that was a cool experience. For me, it was a cool experience.
No, it's very cool. I like people to understand that, because I was with my mom when she passed last year. And same thing. You're there and she's right there. And I could feel her being gone already, just hovering away from the body. And the minute she was gone, you're looking at it and, well, that's not my mom anymore. That was just something she used. And you can really, really see and feel what the true essence of who we are is.
Yeah.
It's not the body we're in. So I always tell people, don't get hung up on the character you're playing. It's just a character. And that goes from Jesus Christ to Gandhi and anyone else and Muhammad and all these names that they throw out there of characters that played this timeline we're on. They're just characters. I mean, from Mother Teresa to Osama bin Laden, we shouldn't judge any of them. And Arnold Schwarzenegger in the middle of it. You don't know the karmic lesson that's going on there. And I have a good story, a cool story to tell
about
that.
Yeah, please, tell us.
About that, where you don't want to judge people because you don't know the lesson that's coming out of it.
Right, yeah.
And I had this happen on the soundstage with a close friend of mine who was working on a shoot with me, and I went upstairs to shut down, and his wife happened to be sitting there, and, oh, I read your, you know, she stopped me and said, I read your book in 5 hours. Can I talk to you for a minute about it? And so I sat down with her and started talking. I knew what was going on in their life, and to make it in a nutshell, she had gone off, had an affair with a guy she worked with, and had a baby. Just much like what's going on with Arnold and his wife right now.
Right.
So go with me on this story.
Now,
immediately, like, everyone wants to jump in and judge Arnold or judge everybody. And, well, you should do this and you should leave her and these things going on. Well, she had read my book and knew something was tied in, that it was more than that. She started to cry when she saw me and said, you know, I just want to know why I do the things I do. Why did I do this? Because it was out of her character to have done that. Well, I said, I know one thing without going any further, that you, your husband, the little girl you have together, the baby you just had with this other guy, and the guy you had it with, and the baby ended up with a celebrity, a pretty well-off couple, and unknown to them, that was drawn out of a hat, because they gave the baby up for adoption,
and the
husband stayed with her, you know? And everybody was, of course, wanting to jump in on this.
Right.
I said, all of you wrote this story together, and you all played the roles. This was ingrained in you from the minute you came into this life with a script embedded in you, and you were going to hit that mark and play that role. I said, if you would have had this baby with your husband, would you have given it up to this couple that couldn't have one? Well, no, you know. But I said, but you gave, this couple had a baby, they couldn't have it, and you had to give it up. There's some karmic lesson. It was payback here that you had to do. And that's when she really started to cry, and she said, well, I knew something like that happened because I was at their house the other day, and the woman, they became friends with them, the people revealed themselves to them, they wanted to be there at the birth, so they knew this baby was coming, and they were there, and my friend shot video of the whole thing. So she, that night at dinner, the celebrity woman brought out this wedding album, started showing her the pictures, and she's saying, wow, this is a huge affair. It was down on Cancun Island or somewhere. And she said, how did you get all this stuff down there? She said, well, I used XYZ shipping. Well, XYZ shipping's where this friend of mine worked, the girl worked that had the baby. She said, you used my company to do this? And, well, who handled the shipment? And the next name she threw out, who do you think that was?
Her?
No. It wasn't her. The guy she had the affair with.
Really?
And that woman had no clue.
Wow.
She was naming the man that was the father of the baby. And my friend about fell over then. And that's one of the markers we put on our lives. So that whenever you're standing there, now you should feel comfortable. The baby is exactly where it should be.
Right.
And there was more beyond that as to that baby being where it should be. I told her if she came in and did a regression with me, I could get her back and find out why this event happened.
Right.
And so I did. We brought her in. She went back, and she shows up in 1959 in New York as an Irish cab driver who drops off as a man. And she's describing herself from the point of man, just like you were describing yourself in that story. She's there driving the cab, drops this fare off one day, and drives off. Unknown to him, her, you know, her, but him back then, he's dragging this woman with him. Her coat got caught in the car, the fare's coat, and drags her down the street for a while till he gets the car stopped, realizes the woman's injured, and the woman was 8 months pregnant.
Oh.
And then she had the baby, and the baby lived a little bit and died right there in the hospital. And he's, now imagine, this girl's lying on my chair, crying, telling it from the point of a cab driver. Now, the emotion that's flowing through her is coming from how bad she felt. And she saw what she did, and so now she had to come into this life and give up something that was close to her, and that was this baby. Now, it didn't have to come from her husband, but the rest of the people are all tied into the story. Mm-hmm. So I want to get them all in because we reincarnate as a soul family. Every one of them has a piece of this story, and it's the most incredible story when you hear why it happened.
Really?
So you should never judge anybody, and this baby that Arnold had with this woman, there's a reason that soul is in this life, and there's more of this to be played out. So don't judge.
The judging comes from really questioning someone else's judgment. You know, I mean, just because they came here, it doesn't mean they don't have the freedom of choice to decide how they're going to behave. You know,
right.
It's not like pre-programmed or anything.
Well, actually, it is. That's what I'm saying. The script is in you, and you don't know.
No,
that
I know,
but you
have the power to change the script.
Well, that's true.
Right? You can't change other people's script. You can change your own.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. You know, I mean, he could have decided, I'm not gonna, you know, have this affair, and I'm not gonna have the baby. And even though I'm surrounded by all the people that are within my karma and so forth.
But remember, he's a movie star. And what do we do with movies in Hollywood? And what kind of movies do we go to see? We go to see The Terminator. We go to see movies with action, adventure, love, drama, and intrigue, all these things in it. If I made a movie that was 2 hours long with just some music and a man and a woman holding hands or two women, whatever you want, just walking through the flowers and nothing else, would you come to see that movie?
Depends on what flowers.
You would not. You would not sit in a theater for 2 hours listening to some beautiful music and nothing happening.
Right.
The same thing in our lives. We created this script, and it's going to be full of drama. It's going to be full of drama. It would be if they wouldn't have it, there would be no tabloids sold, and there's a lot of stuff going off of this story coming
absolutely.
Down.
I like the fact though that I really don't judge people for what they believe and what they choose in their lives. And I think to each his own, and I really, really respect what people believe. But there are times in my life that I've found myself judging and I know what it feels like to be judged, and I don't like it.
Yeah.
But I like what you have to say about it. Like, this is, whether or not Arnold hurt Maria, which I'm sure he did, and his family, I'm not them. And this is his karmic lesson, and he's either going to learn whatever he's going to learn from it and take away. So it's like, well, who am I to say anything about it?
Yeah.
You know, and I do. I like that outlook on it because, you know, it is everybody's own life, you know, and they can choose what they want.
Oh, I'd love to do a regression with Maria and see what part of the story she holds in and what he has. And it would come out and then it would make perfect sense to everyone, and no one would be saying anything then, but he's going, wow, that's cool. Because you have no idea where this kid is going to that he had. That has a whole life ahead of son, or I guess it was a son or a daughter that I'm not even sure what he the baby.
I don't know.
The baby is a boy.
Boy.
Oh, it's a boy.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's
a boy. Yeah.
But who knows where that life is headed and what part of it is going to play in the whole story we wrote here. There's a lot more to come out of it.
No, absolutely, absolutely. You know, and you know, there was something. I mean, I view life also like similarly. Sometimes it occurs to me that, but for me, it's more like with not so much with judging, but. Sometimes being jealous of someone else, you know, like, look what they have, you know, how come I don't have all that and stuff. And I realized, you know, we're all here for different journeys, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like everybody's going in different direction, you know. You can't possibly be jealous of him because this is just a point in his life. You don't know what he's been through before. You don't know what he's going to experience later. Right. But, you know, if you were to take in his own take over his life, then you may not be so jealous anymore, you know,
right,
because
right.
you don't know everything else that's involved there. You know, you've just seen something.
Yeah.
So that has helped me a lot, you know, because I used to always go, well, why am I not famous? Why am I not like a rock star or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And why does that guy have so much money and I don't, you know?
Oh, I can guarantee you, I could take you back and show you when you were a rock star or somebody famous, because everyone on this planet has played those roles as well.
Yeah.
It's not, everybody wants to say, well, why is somebody always someone famous when they reincarnate? That's not true. I mean, you weren't somebody famous. You were just somebody living in England in that time period.
Right.
And famous people now were regular people then, and it's infinite number of roles. Right. And you, more than one person can play the same role. Washington's still crossing the Delaware out on that timeline, and Lincoln's still writing the Gettysburg Address. Those roles are still out there to play. They're a continuous loop going on. It's not ending. We just think of it ending because we're on the timeline.
Sure.
We think of it in the past, and it's over. It's not over. It's only over for us on this timeline. The minute we leave here, it's right there. You jumped right into the role. You were in it a couple days ago. You were living in England again.
I know.
Yeah.
It was so awesome.
So what other part? I mean, we only have a few minutes, but is there any other part that we should
play?
Well,
play the
part
where she came out. That's only a minute long because we're running out of time here.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You can see how she felt when she came out of it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So that's
eight.
The last one? Number eight. Okay. Stephanie, whoops. Hold on a
Tapping
second.
Tapping into that internal balance and harmony. Start.
Let me rewind.
Number three. You're continuing to come up now and tapping into that internal balance and harmony, starting to feel yourself floating back into your body, flowing into that body. Number four, you're now beginning to recall the situation in the room. Can recall the situation in the room. And number five, you're wide awake now, wide awake. You can open your eyes and feel good. You're wide awake. How are you doing, Stephanie? Okay? Here,
oh,
some Kleenex.
God. My body is so heavy. Oh, God, is it heavy. Oh, God. I feel like, God. No, it's a incredible feeling.
Yeah.
Even when I've gone out of it, I've felt the heaviness to a point when I was meditating, but.
Yeah. This is very different than meditating.
Yeah. Well, it's way different than meditating. It was.
It was, but that's. Yeah. It was. Oh my! I wish, people could feel like it was so heavy.
Really.
And it's so weird because, like, as we're moving right now, it doesn't. Our bodies don't feel heavy.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, it's just like a normal thing. It is incredible how it just feels like a huge weight, like. Yeah. A truck, like I said, hit me. But I was coming out. I was crying when I came out.
No, she was crying. It was the last section, the higher self one. She was crying all through it. Well, she met. She saw her grandma and grandpa, and her dog showed up. And it's there. You're there with them on the other side, the place where we go when we die. It's it's nowhere far away. People have this vision of heaven being up there. It's literally we're walking around inside this other universe. We're immersed in it. It's like a sponge being stuck in the water.
Right.
We're in the sponge material, and the water is surrounded. We're penetrated by it. It's permeating us, and they're right around us. That's how you can communicate with this other side. And all I did in a few minutes was get her under. It took about 20 minutes to get her down under, and then we spent over an hour there.
Yeah.
And that's why when she came back, she's heavy. She's out of her body literally for that long. And then when you come back in, all of a sudden. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Then you feel so
all
restricted.
These, like, souls are around us and stuff all the time, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
have
you felt...
You see, that's why, you know, sometimes when I masturbate, I feel I'm being watched and stuff. And I think
that's
what
why.
It is. Yeah.
And there we go.
They're all around me, you know. Everybody's watching me.
Right.
Glad we finally got that masturbation word into the show.
There
I was wondering if that
You're
would
wondering
make
if that was going to make it. Just fear not. It always makes it.
But it's true, yeah.
No, well, I was just going to say, like, have you ever had that experience as far as... I was telling Randy that a couple years ago, before I got my dog India, which I think was also my grandma in some way. I was sitting in my bedroom and all of a sudden I felt my grandma died 2003, a month before my wedding. My mom's mom. And I felt her all around me in my room, and this lasted a couple days, and then all of a sudden I started smelling cucumbers, and cucumbers remind me of my grandma's house in the summer, and I so strongly I felt her presence, and that was really the first time I ever really felt somebody's being, like soul around me.
Yeah.
And it was,
wow.
Oh my
That's
God.
Amazing.
Yeah, you feel safe, you feel happy, you feel like you're not without them.
Right.
It's such a great feeling. And when I cried, I know we have to go, but when I was crying coming out of it, I was crying because I was so happy to see them so happy. It was not that I missed them, because I knew that they were there. And that was such a great, cool
you
thing.
You were happy. Yeah. Well, you know what? You got the clips here, the other ones we didn't play. And you can play a clip every, other
every day
or something and say, here's something and
right.
wake you up.
Yeah. Well, Randy, this is very fascinating. Why don't you give us like a website or something, phone number where people can find you?
Sure. The keyoflife.net or randolphrogers.com. You can find me or on Facebook. I'm on Facebook under Randy Rogers or The Key of Life. Either one of those will get you there. And the book's available through my website or else on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and online, any of those. You can find The Key of Life there.
Cool. Wonderful. Well,
thank you so much, Randy,
Randy, thank you so much.
Hypnotizing
me.
You're coming down, Sam.
Yeah,
I know it.
I'm curious about it.
I'm sure you are. Let's
all right.
Do it,
well,
Sam.
Thanks for enlightening us. All the best to you.
It was a pleasure.
Thanks guys. Thank
Stephanie,
you, Sam.
Stephanie, we found out a lot about you today. That
Did
you,
I sound sexy?
You rode
like
into the sunset with a horse and a guy you didn't like and whatever. I don't know.
Thanks for summing it up, Sam.
But I thought you would see a shark in the water there, but it was a guy you didn't like. So
I know, right?
Maybe it's one and the same, right?
Oh, Sammy.
Okay, everybody.
All
thank
right,
you
guys,
all for joining
thank
us.
You.
See you tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Stephanie in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 until 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question for our hosts, or if you would like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all communication to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Stephanie is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.